Hello, everyone. This is Sherry Boone with Jamie Tenzer on May 9th, 2023, with Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged. Thank you for taking advantage of this learning opportunity and conversation. Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged is a place for PCC and MCC coaches to showcase their coaching. They come from a variety of backgrounds and styles to share their unique skills and gifts with all of us. In this format at Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged, we're looking to engage in a learning opportunity with colleagues who are exhibiting a wide range of coaching styles. So as you're listening to this session, the goal is not perfection, but the goal is to learn something. As coaches, we meet our clients where they are and whatever happens, happens. And then we all get an opportunity to debrief and learn, thanks to our generous and open-hearted guest coaches. So we thank you all for being a part of this forum for all of our professional development. Today, we're very honored to have as our guest coach, Jim Saliba, PCC. You can find Jim's complete bio and see his contact info at realcoachingsessionsunplugged.com. Here's an outline of our call today. Jim will coach his client for about 25 minutes. Then we will interview Jim for about 10 minutes. Then we'll open up the line for you all to be able to ask questions. At 5 minutes before the hour, we'll make a couple of announcements and close the call. So everyone, we invite you now to sit back and listen in to this coaching session. Jim and your client, thank you so much for joining us today. And when you're ready, Jim, please begin your coaching.
Thank you, Sherry. Hello, Josh. How are you doing today?
Hey, Jim. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're going to, as you heard, coach for about 20-25 minutes. You need to take a breath, or are you ready to go?
I'm ready to get after it.
Okay. As you know, we're bound by ICF rules, and everything we say here is confidential. So, what's on top of mind today for you, Josh?
Yeah. So I'll pick up where we left off last time. You and I have spent a lot of time discussing team building, starting with hiring all the way through the development phase. And then last time we met, we spent a lot of time discussing the onboarding process, particularly in kind of the COVID and remote environment. And where I think it's left me is just stepping back and thinking through in general, kind of the meeting cadence with my team and sort of walking this tightrope of meeting often enough to where it feels like everyone's connected and understands the why behind what they're doing, but not meeting so much that, you know, you sort of get this meeting exhaustion and you end up with 40 hours a week of meetings and no time to get anything done. And I know I've read a lot and sort of had different practices instilled into me with regards to DCIs and, you know, weekly check-ins and weekly one-on-ones and all these different cadence that you can operate under. But I guess I'd like to discuss what I'm doing now and just kind of pick your brain around whether or not it's best practice or there's a better way to think of it.
Sure. So what would this look like for you when we're done in 20 minutes?
Ideally, you know, I would just like to have another mind to kind of bounce what I'm doing currently off of and get an opinion or perhaps just some kind of reflection around whether or not you know, I have a breakthrough as to, you know, needing to do something differently.
Okay, so we really just want to reflect on what you're doing and how it's working or not working for you.
Right.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Right.
Okay, why don't we start off? Why don't you catch me up on what you've done since last we chatted?
Yeah, sure. So since last we chatted, I have went through and I've built the onboarding document that we had talked through where it's got a focus on the company and who we are, but then a larger focus on, you know, the department that I run and what we try to represent, what we try to achieve. So that's been very positive. And I have reached out to the marketing teams, the product management teams and my team and leveraged a lot of what we already had internally. So I feel quite confident in my ability to be ready to go when my key new hire begins on the 22nd.
Okay, that sounds great. So where do you want to move it from here?
Yeah, maybe it makes sense. Let me just kind of walk you through what I currently have for cadence with my team. And then allow you to pick and poke and prod.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I guess I would start by saying, I think in kind of the post-COVID world, there's been a pretty significant change to the way that I've organized my meetings with my team. So there's the obvious difference of, not being in person, and we're a fully remote company now. But I think, in my opinion, one of the things that's been tough and one of the things that's been lost a little bit is the personal side of just who we are. I think it's easy to become kind of office and work drones when we just stare at a computer screen all day. So really the first meeting cadence that I had implemented with my team is just a 30-minute one-on-one, typically on Mondays. And I've reserved at least half of that conversation to be kind of personal about, hey, how was your weekend? And, you got any vacation coming up and those sorts of things, kind of the water cooler talk. Just because I fear if I don't carve time out to have those types of conversations, then they won't happen at all.
Right.
And I think once you lose that connection with the real world and with reality, it can be hard to reestablish that.
So I'm hearing you really want to keep that personal side connected that we normally did maybe around the coffee machine in the hallway. You totally lost that and you're trying to bring it in the first part of your one-on-ones.
Yeah, I don't think I've lost it. I think I would lose it if I didn't block time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not meant to be invasive or intrusive. It's really just meant to be an open forum for those that want to talk about their weekend and have exciting news about their kids and those sorts of things. It feels like once you're halfway through Monday, once the week really kicks off, like you're just in full work mode until the weekend. and so again, I've set that aside, to really be a focus of that, because it's important, with the culture I'm trying to build, to have some of that personal reflection and personal touch. But then the back half of this call is to be a little bit more focused around, okay, what are your priorities for the week? And is there anything you'd like to discuss?
Okay. What else do you could do?
So those are obviously one-on-ones. On every Wednesday morning, I have a weekly check-in with all of my direct reports. The goal of that meeting is to be, an open forum for everyone that might not necessarily interface with one another to bring up issues that may be applicable to one another or across different aspects of my function. Mm-hmm. I would say those meetings have changed a little bit in kind of the last 2 or 3 years, and I'm trying to identify, what the best use of them is. They're very much driven by me right now. I develop the agenda each week. And I think what I'm struggling with is because I'm taking the ownership of developing that agenda and then leading those calls. They're not as interactive as I would like, right? It's like a meeting that's an hour long and I feel like I talk for about 58 minutes, which I don't like. So one of the things I'd love to try to do is, allow the others to come with agenda topics and to lead aspects of that, both with regards to their career development, but also just to make it, as collaborative of an environment as I can.
That's an interesting way to go. So let me understand how the mechanics of that would work. Would you still be doing the agenda and facilitating, or are you giving them a chance to do it each time? I didn't catch how you want to do that.
Yeah, I guess what I'm starting to think through is, maybe like a SharePoint, a live document for each upcoming meeting, to where over the course of the 5 business days leading up to each meeting, you can just add topics in real time and put your name after it, right? And that way, when it's fresh on your mind, hey, I'm going to go there, I'm going to add it as a topic, and then we'll discuss it the next week. I think allowing them that opportunity to do it in real time, it will mean that you don't jot it down and then turn the page and forget about it, or just forget about it altogether. Mm-hmm. But you just have it up as an open item, and then you jot that note and lead that discussion the next week.
Okay. So you're allowing them to put topics on. I'm not catching the piece where you're not talking the 58 out of 60 minutes issue.
Yeah, I think the idea would be, and I'd obviously have to make this clear, is that if they add the topic, they would be the one, leading the discussion in that topic. Mm-hmm. As opposed to adding it for me to then discuss with the broader group.
I don't know your directs. This is just for your directs, right?
That's correct.
Since I don't know them, are they open to do this, or if they're expected to speak, it's going to hold them back?
Yeah, by and large, I think they're open to it. I think there's at least to some extent an expectation that they have to be. I mean, they interact with leaders across the org, and they have to have, ability to communicate and articulate clearly. None of them are individual contributors in the sense of, they're not managing their own teams, and so they have to have a lot of those leadership and communication skills.
Okay, so they're putting the topics in, they're going to lead that topic. So this way, Josh is not talking 58 minutes. Connected back for me the personal side of who we are. That's the term you used, who we are. Connect it back to that for me.
Yeah, I think in general, I guess a fear. Yeah, I think for most people, work isn't their number one priority in life. I mean, certainly it is for some. It's not for myself as seriously as I take my work. And so I want to make sure I've implemented an environment and instilled a culture where, people can say what they need to say without fear of repercussion or fear of being judged or anything like that, right? Like, hey, we're all, humans trying to do the best we can. And that's ultimately what I'm trying to get across to the team, and I want them to feel comfortable and that it's an environment that's open to any and all ideas. And so, by starting the week with a, hey, tell me about your family, oh, you took a vacation, tell me about it, how'd it go? And then just allowing them over the course of the week to understand that I understand, that we as a company understand that, that's the significant piece of their life, whereas work is just a component of their life.
I'm feeling still a disconnect here. We need to go one layer deeper, I think. You have a one-on-ones with them in the beginning of the week, 30 minutes, and you're talking about some of their personal things. But then on Wednesdays, you have all your directs where they can come and bring topics. But in that Wednesday one, I'm not seeing the personal side come together here, just in the one-on-ones. Am I missing something?
No, you're hearing it right. I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say right now that the only time that I have dedicated on a weekly basis to the personal side of things is on those one-on-ones on Monday.
Do you need more?
I think I want more. Again, I wouldn't be super concerned about losing 5 or 10 or 15 minutes at the start of a Wednesday to double down on what I'm trying to achieve there. I mean, again, everyone's going to work, however long and however hard they need to get their work done. I think that might be a good investment of time to not have it be a Monday sort of hit on it once and then forget about it the rest of the week, but to double down on it on Wednesdays.
And how would you do that?
Potentially by, if it's something that isn't confidential, bringing up, a fun trip someone has planned, discussing some of the fun things I may have planned. One of the other things that I'd like to hit on today, and I've got a limited amount of time here, is I kind of have free rein to figure out how often my team and I should be meeting in person on an annual basis. And it's a bit of a delicate balancing act, if for no other reason than I work in finance and there are expenses associated with flying everyone in to meet. But I feel like there has to be some sort of balance there to where, when you do meet in person, there's just a different level of a connection, and there's just a different level of appreciation and respect that you really can't replicate over a computer screen.
So now you're talking about three types of get-togethers. Two are virtuals. You have one-on-ones, you have a weekly get-together with your team, and then some occasion, I didn't hear how often, of personal meetings, of personal get-togethers, right? In person.
Correct.
How often would that be?
I can say last year we did it once over the course of the year and didn't feel like enough, quite frankly. Our business moves fast and 12 months is a really long time. It's kind of an eternity at my place of work. And so it feels like that's too long of a time to be able to remind one another that we're people first. And it feels like going 12 months without seeing one another, it'll allow you to sort of fall into that kind of office drone mindset.
Right. So we're ways into the conversation. Let me check in. Is this going in the direction you want?
Yeah.
What do you have so far that's different than when you came into the meeting?
Yeah, well, I think it was an appropriate call out that if it's as important as it is to me to instill a culture where, we're not office drones, right? And that we are real people and we understand that about one another, then only checking in on Monday doesn't make a lot of sense. Check in on Monday mornings and then for the next 50 hours of the work week, just kind of forget about it. So I think on Wednesday mornings, being able to double down and bring a little bit of personal touch, I think is a good call out. I think in terms of meeting in person, it feels like at least twice a year would be a more appropriate cadence, if not quarterly. And I certainly understand the aspect of you don't just meet in person to, go to a theme park together. You meet in person for it to be productive and to have an agenda. But you also get to go out to dinner together and do the things that are good for team building and for chemistry.
So you talked about the components, these meetings, getting together, going to dinner. You also mentioned the word culture, which is always a big topic for me, and we've talked about culture before.
Yeah.
By making these adjustments, what in your culture are you aiming for?
Yeah. Well, certainly something that resonates true with me is, I feel like I personally am willing to work harder and make more sacrifices for people that I know and care about a little bit more on a personal level. There's more of a connection there. We've talked about where I'm trying to build a culture that's very solution centric and very team first and we first and not I first. And I think by developing that personal connection and being able to feel a little bit more that we are again people and not just these office or work drones, it will enable us to be more of a team first and a we first type of a function.
If you were to give your culture that you're envisioning a name, what would that be? What would you call it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean,
Are
I've read a
you?
book since we started talking called Creating We. And I think it's a little bit of that, right? Which is the we side or the team side, as opposed to the I.
So, what would you call your final culture you're aiming for?
I like the idea of, collaboration being somewhere in there. I'd probably, yeah, I think it's an important question that you're asking. I'd probably want a little bit of time. Again, I think kind of the key bullets are a culture that appreciates who we are as people and not just as employees. And a culture that is willing to make sacrifices at the expense of I or we for the betterment of the team.
Okay, so I heard collaborative, I heard who we are, I heard we versus I. What else?
I know we had discussed this in the past, right? But certainly a culture of caring and understanding.
Anything else?
I mean, I'm sure if I thought long enough, but I think those are the big ones.
Okay, so if those are the attributes of your new culture, what does it get you for you, your people, and your business?
Yeah, I think it just creates a happier environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the environment's, it's certainly not toxic. I don't necessarily think it's unhappy, mm-hmm. but it can always be happier, I think, right? And I think when you enjoy the people that you work with, you're far more likely to have a higher quality of output and potentially even do it in a more timely manner, right? Where you're not going, oh, I got to do this for that guy or that girl, right? It's not like that. It's one of more, if you can enjoy the team and enjoy what you're doing, I think it's in the best interest of the company.
Mm. I would agree. Is this culture you're creating for your group in line with the culture of the whole organization?
Yeah, for the most part, I think, I definitely think for the most part, I think I would probably try to get a little bit more on the caring side mm-hmm. than maybe sort of the broader organization, just because it's important to me on a personal level. I think it's important for me to understand that, you know, everyone deserves to feel respected, mm-hmm. right? Everyone deserves to feel like they belong and to understand their purpose and those sorts of things. The culture of the company is one that's very inviting. It's very, open to different opinions, without any repercussion or fear of, that mm-hmm. opinion being shot down. It is a very, again, kind of like software-y open environment. Yep. But I wouldn't say that this sort of personal touch and real focus on care is something that's a broader focus of the company.
So part of our larger conversation over the past few sessions, this started because you want to bring people on board. You want them to know who you are and who your organization, your team is about. How does this help you with that?
Yeah, well, I think, again, when I envision who my, like what my function is about, right? Like, you know, when I mentioned I built the onboarding document, there were kind of the two components. The one is, here's who we are as a company. Here's our objective. Here's our mission statement. Here's our values. Here's our goals. And the other is, here's who I envision, the role that I envision our function playing in the company, right? Being one of, I've always kind of defined it as a bit of a glue function, right? We kind of sit up in the crow's nest, we see everything, and we hold everything together because we've got that unique perspective. I don't think it's possible to create that type of environment where you are collaboratively holding everything together without having, care and respect for one another, because there's too much dependency on others. It's not a function where you can try to survive on heroics and late hours. It's one where you really have to depend on those around you. And so by instilling that and making sure that everyone feels that, it's going to ultimately lead to the success of the function that I'm trying to build.
Okay. We have about 2 minutes left. What do you have now versus what you didn't have 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, well, I've got the obvious takeaways of making sure that it's not just a once and done check-in on the personal level, right? But that there's sort of either a more recurring or certainly on the Wednesdays when I've got my whole team together, setting aside a little bit of time to double down on that. I certainly like the idea of meeting up more than once a year and finding a very practical and very business-driven purpose for that meeting, but just to make sure we don't go 12 months without touching base. Mm-hmm. And then I think the biggest thing is just kind of a reminder on the culture, where when you and I had started having discussions, on that culture, the word caring was one that popped up a lot. Mm-hmm. And just kind of a reminder of, what can I do to instill and create a caring environment?
Okay, that sounds great. You need anything else for us to close?
No, I don't think so. This was very good.
Great. Sherry, Jamie, I guess you can come back.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. And thanks to your client as well. All right. So, Jim, how was the session for you coaching in front of all these people today? How did you do?
You know, I got so used to doing things on Zoom and seeing my client, I forgot what it was like a bit to do it just with audio.
Uh-huh.
And it just feels different. Some ways better because I'm not looking at things and I can focus more on what I'm hearing rather than what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing. So it was a little different than usual.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Wonderful. Yeah. It's a different experience, isn't it? Without that visual. Yeah. And that's, of course, the way we all started 25 years ago. Everything was on the phone. We didn't see people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think went well here, Jim? What did you like about what happened?
I think it went well. Josh likes to talk about more of the mechanics first, and we got into that.
Mm-hmm.
And he started really getting back into that this is a culture he's trying to build. And I kind of keep bringing that back to him because that was his big thing when we originally started. And I noticed with this specific client, we'll talk a lot here, but it is afterwards that he'll come back to me in an email or something,
mm-hmm.
and say, oh, you know, I was thinking about our conversation and blah, blah, blah. Something else came to mind. So it's interesting that often I don't get to tie things up in a nice bow with him here in, mm-hmm. in my sessions, but I hear it and see it later on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unique to this client. So I think it was great. He'll come back to me probably in 2 days and say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like to always remind people that coaching doesn't stop at the end of a session. So
mm-hmm.
it's great that he comes back to you. Yeah. And I did note, go ahead, Jim. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. No.
I was going to say, I did notice how you brought back the, about halfway through, you reminded him of that word culture, you said,
hmm.
you know, and then asked that question, by making these adjustments, what in your culture are you aiming for? So
right.
Really great follow-up and great question there. Yeah.
I've been trying to get him to name it, to give it a name, a
mm-hmm.
title. And you can see he still hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's defining the attributes, but not a title yet. So I'm trying to give him a name so that when we bring it up, I can quickly say, you want this culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think once he has a name to it, he has more of a personal connection to that.
Okay, good. All right. So let me bring in Jamie. Jamie, do you have a question for Jim?
Yeah. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for that. That was great to listen to you, Coach. And I actually had my primary question is about just how you support yourself as a coach to show up the way you want to show up as you're coaching. So whether that is whatever you do just to prepare right before a session, but also what kind of, you know, learning and development and that kind of, what do you do to sort of keep yourself fresh so that you can really be present with your clients?
Well, usually 5 minutes or so before the session, I start winding down anything else that I'm working on, closing all my windows, which are often, if I keep up, source of distraction, so I can focus more on what's going on. and I do my own breathing. Most of my clients, I try to get them to breathe a little bit, but they don't. Most of them are like Josh. They just want to dive right in. So I have to prepare myself and do my breathing and separate me from everything else before the call.
Yeah, and your natural presence and voice and pacing with your questions, I think it must also be quite calming for your clients.
For my client, yes. For me, no. I have 12 questions that I'm trying to stack, right? And I'm like, okay, which one do I want to go? And if you hear me on many of my calls, I may go to a client and say, you know, I can go take this in 6 different directions. help me. Where do you want to go? I could do this. I could do that. What do you want to do?
That's great. Well, thank you so much. Nice session.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. Yeah. You know, just as you're talking about that, going in different directions, there are always different paths that a session can take, right? And just to have that trust of where it's going to go. What I really noticed, Jim, that you were also doing here was, you know, it seemed like you were very natural and relaxed in your conversation. Of course, this is a client you've worked with before, you have this relationship with, but you know, you were just very, just having a relaxed pace for the session. And so that was really coming through strongly. Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah. Good. All right. So Jim, can you just talk with us before I open it up to other people, just maybe just share with us a little bit about your general philosophy of coaching. What do you find most important?
Well, I'm working a lot with leaders, kind of mid-management, who are looking to grow their leadership and grow in their career. So I try to be very solutions oriented. Many people can come with all the problems and then they don't know what to do with it. So we start being very solutions oriented. I like using topics from a positive psychology point of view. I think leaders get stuck often very much from fear. I have what I call the 4 fears of leadership. So I try to get people to understand the self-sabotaging stories that hold them back.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. All right, good. Well, let's, we've got a big room here of lots of people on the line listening and being present today. So let's open it up for people to be able to ask questions and talk with you a little bit. So everybody, it's your turn. It's your chance. What questions do you have for Jim?
I don't bite.
Hello everyone.
Nathan here.
Okay, Nathan, and then I heard somebody else. I think it was Imola. So Nathan, go ahead, please.
Great coaching, Jim. I do love your soothing voice and approach. It really to me it comforts the client. But what I like what you did, and maybe you can address it more, is that at several times, I love how you kept the person on track in a direction that we are going in. Are you getting what you want out of this? Do you have now, what do you have now that you didn't have a few minutes ago when we started? I would like you to say more about that. I loved it.
Well, you know, many times as I'm talking to clients, 2 things happen. One, we get deep in the conversation, and I have no idea if they're really getting something out of the conversation or not. You know, for many times there are topics we go over that seem, I've been in leadership before and I've seen this before, and but it may be new to them and I don't always see that. So asking them, are you getting what you need, is a big thing for me because they're paying for this, right? And people like Josh who come to me, their company is paying for things, so you have a sponsor, and I want to make sure we're constantly tying back to the bigger big issue that they want to solve. So yes, I constantly ask, are you getting what you need? What did you get? Because sometimes it's not obvious to me.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Nathan.
Hello, Jim. Hello, everyone. I have two questions. One of them is related to the moment Nathan pointed out as well. But first, I would, I'm curious about the agenda. So the client was saying initially that they want another mind to bounce off, advice, reflection. So basically the outcome for this session was a reflection without a particular outcome for that reflection. And I really liked that. And I am curious, Jim, because some coaches might feel that that may not be a tight agenda. I'm curious, what do you think about setting agendas and why is this a reflection, a tight enough agenda to work on?
So funny you ask, because two things. I have two comments. One, often my clients are just looking for a sounding board. They're busy, going all day long. And my time with them becomes just a time that they can just slow down for an hour, think and talk things through. And sometimes they don't have an agenda. It's just to have a space that I can hold for them. And the second comment I have is that through my own coaching training, in some of Sherry's classes and some others, when it came time that we do coaching together with other coaches in the class, I was always that person. I didn't have an agenda. I didn't have something I really wanted to solve. I just wanted something to talk through and a sounding board. So it's fine with me.
Yes, that totally resonates. And also the fact that you said that this particular client always comes back to you between sessions and there's a lot of progress made between sessions. Mm-hmm. So the reflection is really helping. And the other one is related to the moment Nathan pointed out as well. And I really, really liked that when you checked in and you said, let me check in. Is this going in the direction you want? What do you have that is different from the beginning of the meeting? And what I also noticed is that something changed from that point onwards. Like before that, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But it seemed to me that the energy changed, something in you changed, because before that, the questions were more exploratory, or I'm not sure how to pinpoint mm-hmm. exactly. You were saying that I'm feeling a disconnect. That there wasn't less of a maybe certainty, but after that, you tied it all back to culture, uh-huh. and your questions kept coming and uh-huh. coming and coming. So what changed?
Well, yeah. So in the beginning, I'm more exploratory. What did they want to talk about? What is going on in their mind? When I do that first check-in and they tell me the thing that they got out of it, right? It is an indication to me of where their mindset is, right? Mm-hmm. You can read the same book 20 different times and get 20 different tidbits out of it each time. So he's telling me where his tidbit is, what filters are going on. When he tells me what he gets out of it, now I know where his head is, his headspace is at, and where he wants to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. What a great insight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Imola. Thanks very much. All right. Who else? Comments, questions, acknowledgements?
I have another question.
Great.
This is going back to basics here, Jim, but what do you think, you know, what is a core competency of the 8 core competencies that we work with? Which one do you think really showed up in your coaching today?
That's a good question. I believe that I stay with the client, understanding where they are and where they're going, being very open to that. And I forget which of the core competencies that ties to.
Probably shows up in a few, cultivating trust and safety, presence, listening, right? And of course, they all overlap.
Yes. And I'm still, my headspace is still in the 11 versus the 8 core compass.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Just wondered about that.
When I started my coaching, I was terrible at stacking questions. It's like throwing question after question on top of each other. Having the space and letting the client move me and leaving silence in there was something that I've always and still continue to work on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did a good job of that today.
Some people have described me as a duck. On the surface, it looks calm and easy, but below the surface, those legs are just going like crazy.
Got it.
I have a question.
Sure. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Sherry. So, Jim, early on in the session, I heard a couple words that still kind of have me tense up 17 years into coaching, where he said, I'd like advice and I want to pick your brain.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you didn't reflect that back and you didn't go there. So I was just wondering what was happening in your brain at that moment.
He says it every single time and he's not the only one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay. But sometimes when I'm with a client for a while, I'll point out at the end of the session, okay, you said you wanted to pick my brain. You said you wanted some advice. Did you get what you needed? And they said, yes. And I said, did I give you any advice? And it goes silent. And they said, no, you didn't. So now I hear it. I know what they really want. I kind of ignore the words a little bit and I just keep on going.
I love that. I love the check-in at the end. And sometimes people do reflect back, well, you told me something, something. I'm like, no, I didn't. Yeah. You came up with that. So that's pretty great to clarify, help people see, right, that they are generating.
They are generating. Now, there are times that I do ask to take my coaching hat off and put a consulting hat on and throw a few more ideas in the pot because I've been in business a long time and I feel I have something to add. But then it's back to them. They still need to be picking the solution because they're responsible and accountable for their actions. So they have to pick the action that's good for them.
Yeah, that's a great clarification. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Yeah, I love the way you were describing that, Jim, of checking back with them at the end. Did I give any advice? No, you didn't. Right. Just to bring that awareness to, into the room with the client. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't do that with a lot of clients. I do it with ones that have stayed with me for a while and now we have a good pace mm-hmm. and I can open up and actually say that.
Yeah, sure. Okay, good. That's great. All right, who else?
This is Jennifer. I'd love to jump in with a question.
Thanks, Jennifer. Yes.
So I loved a phrase you used, Jim. It was really just wonderful. And you said, I didn't hear the personal side in that. And I loved that. And what I thought was so interesting to me was that he referred to that as a call out. And it almost sounded like, in some ways, he was feeling like that was a challenge. And you did it in such a delightful, unchallenging way. But I wonder if you could comment on how that presents itself to him in terms of the transformation and the stuff that's going on inside of his brain and yours.
Well, okay, so here's in my brain. I don't know exactly in his, of course. He said that in the beginning, we're not seeing each other in person. We're losing some of the personal side. You know, we hear this a lot now because everything becomes a 30-minute Zoom meeting, right? So meetings are filling up our calendars like crazy. And he kept saying things like, I don't want people to be corporate drones and this. You know, he used all those words. So he wants that personal connection. But and that's great, but he's also responsible to run a piece of business. So I wanted him to connect to, it's not just caring, that is great, but there is a business reason that he's actually going to do this. We want people to be connected. We want them to feel like a family. What does that do for the business? It does a lot. It helps keep us together. It helps keep us productive. It helps us during times of stress when we have to get a lot done. It's not just I come in, do my meetings, and go. And that's a big piece of what business cultures, corporate cultures have always been struggling with. And it's now 10 times harder with such the remote piece. Companies are struggling. They think productivity is fine, but they're losing a lot in this piece, which is causing more churn in companies. It's causing, we hear it about quiet quitting and all those things. So I want him to keep focus. He's trying to solve a problem. It's not just the keeping it together. So I try to find those pieces when he says something and verbally connect it together. So he said at one point, oh, I'm doing all these meetings. Well, how does that connect to your original problem? I want the personal side. And then eventually it was, okay, well, why do you want the personal side? Oh, I want to build a great culture. Was that helpful? That kind of was long-winded.
Yes, very. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer. All right. Who else?
I have a question.
Sure.
I think it's about maybe one third from the conversation. And then Jim says, okay, I'm feeling still disconnected here. You need to go one layer deeper. At that moment, when you said go one layer deeper, my brain goes to the beginning when he says he just want to reflect what's working and what's not working, mm-hmm. because at that point, I haven't heard really clear sense what he used to say this is working for him or his team, and what is not working for him and his team. Mm-hmm. So when you say you need to go one layer deeper, what come to my mind is to ask him, say, what has worked for you and what hasn't, and to what purpose and intention has worked for you for not.
Right.
And I just want to hear what is your comment on my, like, I guess this is a choice point, right? You can go different directions. So mm-hmm. that came to me. I would like to hear what is your thought mm-hmm. on that.
Yes. So his starting his 101s and changing them, we have talked about them in previous conversations quite a lot. So I understood some of that. But what I was starting to feel is when I asked a question, he immediately coming back with a response. He wasn't taking time in my mind or what I was seeing at that point in our discussion to stop and think a little bit. And that was why I said, okay, let's go one layer down. I want him to start thinking. Now, if it's, he has to lead me a bit. If he wants to talk about what's working, what's not working, we'll get into that. But I wanted him to get to stop and slow down a little bit was my intention.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Liru. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. All right. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, Jim, for your coaching today. Thank you, everybody, for your attention, for your conversation. And I'm going to turn it back to Jamie right now.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thanks so much, Jim, for sharing your coaching and also for sharing your thoughts with everyone on the call. Really appreciate you taking the time to do that.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed being here.
Good. All right, so next month, our Real Coaching Sessions call will be on Tuesday, June 13th with Nathan Charles, PCC, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and we hope everyone will join for that. And we just thank you all for being a part of this virtual coaching community. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, and I'll give the final code word.